From the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Friday, March 14th. I'm Abby Larico. At the start of the 100th season of horse racing at Fairmont Park, the new owners have $100 million of renovations planned, including a casino, new restaurant, and redoing the track.
The investment that Excel's making and what's going on here really ensures that the track will be here for another 100 years. And without that, you couldn't say that.
Coming up after this news on The Gateway, St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer explores all the projects underway at the Metro East track and why the horse racing community and city leaders are excited. St. Louis Mayor Tashara Jones has fired the city's personnel director after tense, months-long hearings. As St. Louis Public Radio's Chad Davis reports, it's the first time the city has fired a personnel director.
The decision follows a recommendation to fire Sonia Jenkins Gray from the Civil Service Commission last week. Last year, Jenkins Gray traveled to Jefferson City in a city vehicle with a subordinate to retrieve personal documents from her husband's car. She says she didn't know she was breaking the vehicle policy and reimbursed the city $170. The city argued she also broke its employee code of conduct and put a subordinate at risk. Jenkins Gray has argued the mayor targeted her for political reasons, citing her opposition to a Jones proposed charter change and political differences between her husband, the Reverend Daryl Gray, and Jones. A spokesperson for the mayor says she will pick a provisional personnel director. I'm Chad Davis, St. Louis Public Radio.
Missouri Governor Mike Kehoe says he will soon sign legislation placing the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department under state control. State lawmakers passed legislation this week that puts the department under a state-appointed board instead of the mayor's office. St. Louis Mayor Tashara Jones and Police Chief Robert Tracy have repeatedly spoken against the policy. The change has been a priority of Kehoe's, though. He says it will be easy to measure how successful the new board is.
When we see the business community reinvesting in the city of St. Louis, when we see job growth coming from that reinvestment, when people feel safe to walk in their own neighborhoods, that's the barometer we'll watch, and that's when we'll know that that's been successful.
Kehoe says he will sign the bill the week of March 24th. Missouri lawmakers passed a major bill yesterday that changes dozens of policies related to utilities. St. Louis Public Radio's Kate Grumke has the details.
There's a lot in this bill. One of the biggest changes allows utilities to charge customers for the construction of power plants while they're being built. That's instead of the current system where utilities increase rates after. Consumers Council of Missouri Executive Director Sandra Padgett is critical of the legislation.
This is a terrible, terrible bill. I mean, this is going to result in the biggest increase to utility consumers that Missourians have seen in decades.
Utility companies say the bill will help them meet rising demand for electricity by building more power plants. The bill now heads to Governor Mike Kehoe for signature. I'm Kate Grumke, St. Louis Public Radio.
The Missouri House has approved a bill that would reduce personal property taxes by changing the way property value is assessed. Currently, personal property taxes in Missouri are determined based on 1/3 of market value. This bill would reduce that to 18% of market value over a 3-year period. The bill is one among many tax measures that have been introduced in both chambers this year, including some that would limit or cap property tax assessments. Opponents to the proposed tax cuts have expressed concerns about effects on local and state services, including education. The bill now goes to the Senate. Another bill approved in the Missouri House yesterday would relax car inspection requirements. Currently, in order to renew a car's registration, the car doesn't need to be inspected if it has less than 150,000 miles on it and is less than 10 years old. The bill would change that so that any car with a model year of 2012 or newer is exempt from inspection requirements, so long as it has less than 150,000 miles. Opponents said removing inspection requirements will cause more fatal accidents. The bill now proceeds to the Senate. In November, Missouri voters approved a proposition raising the minimum wage and mandating paid sick leave. But now, part of that policy is at risk of being repealed by Missouri lawmakers, as St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Kellogg reports.
Proposition A passed with 57% of the vote. The statute would raise the minimum wage to an eventual $15 an hour in 2026. It also mandates paid sick leave for employees. However, the Missouri House has passed a bill that would repeal the mandated sick leave and repeal any minimum wage increase in 2027 and beyond. Democratic Representative Mark Boyko spoke against the bill and reminded lawmakers that Missourians voted for Proposition A.
It mocks not just every Missourian who works in Missouri, it also mocks every Missourian who votes in Missouri. In fact, passing this bill, it makes a mockery of the democratic process itself, which is the purpose of government.
The legislation now goes to the Missouri Senate. In Jefferson City, I'm Sarah Kellogg, St. Louis Public Radio.
KIPP St. Louis has named Natalie Henderson as the charter school system's new CEO. Henderson will take over the top job in July after longtime executive director Kelly Garrett steps down in June. KIPP St. Louis is one of the city's largest charter school systems, with six schools enrolling more than 2,500 students. According to a statement from KIPP, Henderson is a longtime educator, most recently a top administrator for Teach for America. KIPP has faced recent scrutiny. A former principal at the high school sued the system for wrongful termination after she raised alleged security and financial concerns. The litigation is ongoing. The U.S. Census Bureau released new estimates this week showing that the St. Louis metropolitan region gained more than 6,000 new people last year. That's the region's largest population increase since 2010. Tony Weich is the chief communications officer for Greater St. Louis, Inc. The nonprofit comprises business organizations from all 15 counties in the metropolitan area. He says much of the region's growth is due to international migration, but it's not enough.
To achieve the type of sustained growth our region truly needs, we must also continue to focus on increasing economic investment and growing the number of high-quality jobs necessary to attract people from other areas of the country.
While the regional population is increasing, the city of St. Louis lost an estimated 3,000 residents last year. The St. Louis region continues to need more workers for its manufacturing sector, which is becoming increasingly advanced. St. Louis Public Radio's Eric Schmid reports on how local educational institutions and leaders aim to fill the talent gap.
St. Louis has historically had a strong manufacturing sector, and local leaders are betting that its transition into more advanced techniques will bolster the region's economy for years to come. But there's still a mismatch between the available talent and what companies in the industry need. Don Pohl is the president of Rankin Technical College.
I hear a lot of industry that they hire somebody and the first thing they do is they retrain them. If you're having to retrain the workforce, then the educational institution that you're partnering with just isn't doing a very good job, right?
Pohl says that's partly because the necessary skills for manufacturing jobs are changing very quickly. He says it helps when institutions like his can partner with companies to tailor education to their needs. I'm Eric Schmid, St. Louis Public Radio.
St. Louis's first ever Spanish language radio station on an FM signal hit the airwaves this week. STLPR's Brian Munoz reports.
Ahora ya pueden escuchar Los 40 USA.
Los 40 STL aims to bolster the region's Spanish language media market. Its name is a nod to America's top 40. KWRH hit the airwaves on 92.9 FM in 2017 and was broadcasting a wide variety of shows. But now, station general manager Mark Langston says he's all in on Spanish programming.
We're just trying to fill a need here, and there's no voice for the Hispanic community in St. Louis on the air.
The station is primarily broadcasting national Spanish music shows as its staff works to build out its local roster. Los 40 STL announced Tatiana Rose has been hired on as a DJ, and the station will continue broadcasting Leader City, a bi-weekly St. Louis City SC show. I'm Brian Munoz, St. Louis Public Radio.
Fairmont Park in Collinsville will open a little over a month from now for its 100th season. And with that anniversary, there will be major changes at the horse racetrack, including millions in renovations and a temporary casino. St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer has this preview.
On April 22nd, you can expect to hear a lot of hooves going to and from the racetrack. But before that can happen, there's a few projects that need to be wrapped up. The new owner of Fairmont Park, Excel Entertainment, has $100 million of renovations planned over the next 3 years. That includes constructing a brand new casino, redoing parts of the track, putting in a new restaurant, and eventually building a concert space and maybe a hotel.
Of course, all this is brand new. This was all open.
Vince Gabbert is the new general manager of Fairmont Park. He says fans can expect a temporary casino in the restaurant to open this spring.
The investment that Excel's making and what's going on here really ensures that the track will be here for another 100 years. And without that, you couldn't say that.
The remainder of the projects will happen over the next couple of seasons. Another change fans will notice immediately is race times. Saturday's races will start at 1:30 p.m. instead of 7. The goal of starting earlier is to give East Coast bettors a bigger window to wager. Gabbert says Excel is in growth mode. Creating a Racino here, which is a racetrack-casino combo, allows for the company to test a new model that could be recreated elsewhere.
The exciting thing for me here is it really is a chance to do some cool stuff and to do some things that nobody else can try, nobody else can get away with. Plus, you've got such a great built-in fan base that, you know, I think that people are really going to give us the patience and the grace to try some of those new things. And if they don't work, we'll try something else.
And it's not just Gabbert who's excited. Collinsville city officials, based on conservative estimates, predict that 450,000 people will visit Fairmont Park this race season. Between an admissions and gaming tax, those officials project Collinsville and the surrounding communities will net $3 million in tax revenue. Derek Jackson is the Collinsville city manager.
The more people we can have coming into town to pay for services here or entertainment, whatever it is, that takes the burden off of our residents when it comes to property tax and things like that.
Of course, the extra tax revenue isn't the only economic benefit of the upgraded racetrack. Jackson says the more people that come to a race, the more people that will visit small businesses and the city's downtown. And like the city, the horsemen are also on board. Scott Becker owns and trains horses at Fairmont. He says the horsemen have been waiting a long time, but you couldn't script the changes to be any better.
You think about the changes, it almost makes you break down to tears, you know, of happiness, because we've really wanted this for a long time.
Becker and fellow horseman Jim Watkins have experienced the industry's decline since the 1980s. They've seen shortened seasons, smaller purses, and other states passing laws opening up horse racing. Now, Watkins says the horsemen have hope. They just need to be prepared for what he calls short-term pain for long-term gain.
You know, there's going to be some, you know, construction going on, demolition, projects taking place, and we understand that we're going to have to be inconvenienced, if you will, to reach our goal down the road.
And for the jockeys, the renovations will mean the competition only gets better. But that's not necessarily a bad thing. Alexander Bendesu from Peru was last year's leading jockey.
Está bien para mí, me gusta la competencia.
Yeah, no, it's good for me because I like competition. So last year I had an accident, but I came back. And it was a bit hard to win the leading jockey title, but at the end of it I was able to do it. So I like competition and I like having goals.
In the meantime, jockeys like Mendesu will hit the track with their horses to prepare for the upcoming season that will look a little different. In Collinsville, I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
Our Fred Ehrlich edited that piece. It's Friday, March 14th, as we said off the top. Well, that's a very special day here in St. Louis, because when you write it out, it's 314 Day. That's a perfect excuse to celebrate all things in the STL. This promotion of the region's main area code started in the Black community as a sort of homecoming weekend for the city. Today, you'll find 314 Day sales and specials and unique spins on local favorites all around town. So indulge in some gooey butter, Provel cheese, local beer if you want, maybe hit up a community celebration, or take a little more time to visit with your neighbors. A year ago today, I happened to get to celebrate in the best way possible. Moving home to St. Louis. There's no place like it. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Theme music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom right here in the 314, this has been The Gateway. Have a fantastic 314 day and an even better weekend.